May the words of my lips and the thoughts of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. One of the delights of priestly ministry can be that of marrying a couple at a wedding here, where they work on and listen to what you've advised them. If one has got it right, then they'll be standing at the chancel step there, facing each other as they make serious promises, and they'll be totally oblivious to the rest of the world around them. It's always a privilege and a delight to witness the event as their faces become transfixed with joy. It's a special moment they will never forget. But of course, as the officiating priest, one can also see the rest of the people in the congregation, as well as the couple in front of one. And one is aware that in the age of the mobile phone, and despite instructions to the congregation before the wedding starts, there always seems to be one idiot who desperately wants to capture the moment. A bright flash alerts you to the fact that the request has not been heeded, and I have to resort to my Rottweiler, the verger, to go and sort it out. I'm quite sure that Simon Peter, impetuous as he was, would have been totally unable to resist the temptation to take a picture of the scene of the Transfiguration, which he was witnessing, had mobile phones been around 2,000 years ago. As we heard in our Gospel reading today, he witnessed the appearance of Moses, the greatest patriarch, with Elijah, the greatest prophet, with Jesus, the Messiah. It was a stunning scene, and Peter would have wanted to capture the moment so it would last forever. If he had had a mobile phone, I'm pretty sure he wouldn't have hesitated to use it. In fact, I'm pretty sure he would have probably taken a selfie with Jesus, Moses and Elijah in the background to post on the media and show everyone. Which gives us a clue to why the compilers of our modern lectionary chose this passage for the Sunday before Lent, with Ash Wednesday looming large. We have, since the end of November last year, been led from Advent with its theme of expectation through the joys of Christmas to the season of Epiphany, where, within a short space of time, Christ's ministry has blossomed. So far, it's been a story which has got better and better and better. And like Peter, we don't want it to stop. For as we look back, it has been a story of unremitting growth of glory. If only it could remain like that. But it cannot, because of who Jesus is. We ask ourselves, why has Jesus come here? Probably to the slopes of Mount Hermon. He does so, as the Gospels record, a few days after the disciples become convinced at Caesarea Philippi that Jesus is the Messiah. Peter was the first who had the courage to put that into words. And the Messiah, as Isaiah and the prophets foretell, is the suffering servant whose future is bleak. Jesus has come to the mountain to pray, free from the crowds who followed him so constantly. He takes his most trusted friends, Peter, James and John, with him. He needed to share with his Father what was on his mind. Something terrible. What was it? It was his own crucifixion. He knew it couldn't be far off. It was just a matter of time as he turned towards Jerusalem and those who were plotting his end. And God, through the glory of the Transfiguration, assures Jesus that this is a reality which must be faced. The terrifying path to glory. It points us towards Good Friday and the appalling behaviour which is so latent in humankind. It's ever present, as events in Syria today remind us. Hence, one can empathize with the feeling of the disciples as they experience something which they would like to last forever. And we can empathize with the feelings of Jesus as he is faced with an inevitable and daunting future. It's a turning point, And that is what the compilers of the lectionary want us to realise. With the coming of Lent, our focus must turn from the joys of Christmas to the suffering of the cross. From looking back to looking forward in our spiritual thinking and in our lives, both as individuals and as the body of Christ, the Church. For the Transfiguration reminds us that God has been with us and will continue to be with us in all life's ups and downs. For the Transfiguration says something to us as individuals. Which one of us has never suffered apprehension of the future? Children use social media constantly, but forever seem to be concerned about others, how others see them through this. Parents share their concerns as they collect at the school gates about finance, education, housing, and everything else under the sun which affects their future. And who is there who, by the time they draw their old age pension, has never given a single thought to what their end will be, and where, and when? For all of us, the Transfiguration account reassures us that Christ understands our apprehension, the feeling of loneliness, the feelings of uncertainty. He experienced it himself. And we too, like him, need to be reassured that God is with us as we journey into the unknowingness of the future and its challenges. I once remember meeting an elderly lady who showed me a particular photo in her album when I visited her. It pictured four generations of her family with her centre stage as its matriarch on the occasion of a milestone birthday party. Her face lit up when she showed it to me, full of pride in her family gathered from far and wide. And I could tell from her voice that this was a transfiguring moment in her life, something she wished would last forever, but life had moved on, and life had not been kind to her, yet she still treasured highly this mountaintop moment. Yes, I suspect that most of us have photos somewhere which record memorable events and which we treasure greatly. They remind us of transient things which are never repeated. Special holidays, family celebrations, special places visited. The list is endless. We cherish them and they live on in the memory. But life goes on. They remind us of good times, and their memory helps us to face the future. So too it is with us in our spiritual lives. In our relationship with God, there are times when we feel close, when we sense his presence, when we experience his healing love, and we wish they would last forever, but they don't. And when times are dark, we bring them out to reassure ourselves of his continual love for us, just as we use our photos to remind us of past joys. For life has its ups and downs, and being a Christian is not a guarantee that we can escape from them, but it does enable us to face them, knowing that we do so with God's help as life, its events, test our faith. As I once overheard a mother describing her family troubles to another, "When my daughter married my son-in-law, she took him for better or worse. The only problem is that he turned out to be worse than she took him for." So, as we reach a crossroad in the Church's calendar, when we turn from the joy of God's coming into the world through Christ towards the cross through which he redeemed us, may we be reminded and reassured by the Transfiguration that we can step forward to the future with confidence and hope. As we bring to mind those highlights in our lives which we treasure, may they inspire us to do so in the season of Lent, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For it was Isaac Watts, that great hymn writer, who gave us this perspective in very simple words. "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride." May we thank God through his gift of memory that we can treasure the highlights in our lives, realizing as we do so that they are a sign and encouragement that God's love and care for each and every one of us is unfailing, beyond price, and never ending. Amen.